Hello, Texas America and the world. This is Mark Antonoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's bringing Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a conventional radio audience in the American South in the days ahead. We've been kicking around some news items this morning and also talking with Steve from Tennessee in regard to some of the great and demonic forces that are behind some of the events that we see in world history. Again, without claiming inerrancy on this, folks, because I'm not inerrant, I nonetheless see in the events of our time that we go back to Ashkenazic Jewry's roots in the 8th century in 740 AD in this place called Khazaria, and that we have from there a modern Jewish race that incidentally is not Jewish, just cannot trace its lineage, blood lineage, back to Abraham and to Moses, certainly. But that it is this group of people, in my view, from the 8th century onward, that in terms of the development of the modern central banking system and the way in which the House of Rothschild is the epitome of that central banking system, has had such a profound impact upon all of the different societies of the world over time, that that is what I see as the core thread behind the most evil and demonic events in all the years since, up to and including what has happened in the last 100 years during the development of the 20th century and the first part of the 21st century. Who and what was the central core force behind the two world wars? Who and what was behind the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia? Who and what was behind the assassination of John Kennedy? Who and what was behind what happened with the USS Liberty incident in 1967? Who and what has been behind all of the things going on in the Middle East in the last 60 years? Who and what has been involved is a covert hand of operation in the events of September the 11th, 2001. Who are the core figures and the core conspirators in the neoconservative movement in the United States that has led us into this war for empire in Iraq, and that is shortly to lead us, in my judgment, into a much wider and much more disastrous war with Iran? I think we get right back to Ashkenazic Jewry. We get right back to the roots of Ashkenazic Jewry in Khazaria in 740 AD, and tracing that historical line all the way through the most significant developments in the creation of the House of Rothschild in the 18th century on forward, I think that this is time and again the core element that we need to see in regard to who the ultimate plotters are in regard to what has happened in this country and what has happened in the incredible drive toward world government. Take a look at our own culture, by the way. We're not simply talking about the central core role of Ashkenazic Jewry in the neoconservative movement and in the creation of things like this position paper, A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. We're not simply talking about the role, in my view, of Ashkenazic Jewry in the creation of the so-called Project for New American Century. Why is it, folks, that when we look at the core players in all of the most demonic social and cultural developments just within the continental United States alone, related to population control, related to abortion on demand, related to radical feminism, related to the homosexual rights movement, the core driving force, the core logistical support for this, the core amount of money going into these different movements is coming straight out of the coffers of Ashkenazic Jewry. I think that that's provable. And I think that that's where we need to see the central core question here in regard to which all of the things revolve in this final great struggle between good and evil at the end of history. We are truly speaking of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Been talking about a series of news items today, and I've been chatting with Steve from Tennessee in regard to certain things that surround differing opinions as to who and what has proven to be the primary force behind some of the great conspiracies of world history. And suffice it to say that I think it's worth mentioning again, and then if Steve's still there, I'll take his comments, that one of the core differences of opinion on some of these things related to what preceded what and who preceded whom is this whole business of Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the so-called Bavarian Illuminati. It has been said that he was trained by Jesuits. There are those who point out that Weishaupt defected from Christianity. Was he an Ashkenazic Jew, Adam Weishaupt? Was he an Ashkenazic Jew? Did he defect from the Jesuit order? Was his involvement in the Illuminati and the utilization of the Illuminati to infiltrate Freemasonry primarily something that had the Jesuits behind it in terms of conspiratorial history? Or was it a plot of Ashkenazic Jews? It seems to me a core difference of opinion between two completely different spins, or I should say significantly different spins, on the historical events of the 18th century as it pertains to this whole business of Weishaupt and the development of the so-called Illuminati. Steve, you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Go ahead.
I would like to make a point here that it is the Bible that sheds light on the history that's gone before us.
Certainly.
And I'd like to read a couple quotes. And one of them here is that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 of the,
right.
the mystery of iniquity, or the man of sin, says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, or that is, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And this is the Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were God and the vicar of God. The Pope is of such lofty and supreme dignity that, properly speaking, he has not been established as any rank of dignity, but rather has been placed upon the very summit of all ranks of dignities. He is likewise the divine monarch and supreme emperor and king of kings. Hence, the Pope is crowned with a triple crown as king of heaven and earth and of the lower regions of hell. This is Louis Ferris, Ecclesiastical Dictionary, okay, the article on the Pope. All the names which the scriptures apply to Christ, by virtue of which it is established that he is over the church, all the same names are applied to the Pope. This is Robert Bellamy, on authority of the councils in 1628. We hold upon this earth the place of Almighty God, Pope Leo XIII. That was 1894. For not man, but God separates those from the Roman Pontiff who exercises the functions not of mere man, but of the true God, having weighed the necessity and benefit of the churches to solve not by human but rather divine authority. Criticals of Gregory the Ninth. See, that was 1555. The Pope is the supreme judge of the law of the land. He is vicegerent of Christ. He is not only priest forever, but also King of Kings and Lord of Lords. La Civiltà Cattolica. Who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings?
Well, see, I don't think that eschatological interpretation is inconsistent with what I've been saying here, Steve. In other words, to me, when I look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's assume that we are at this juncture speaking about an individual who will take his seat in the temple of God and proclaim himself as God. Paul says something to that effect there. And let's assume that that is, in fact, an individual residing in the city of Seven Hills. The question, I think, becomes whether or not this individual is a Roman Catholic pontiff in the traditional sense, or whether he is a pontiff who presides over a corrupted version of the Roman Catholic institution that by this time is in one world federation with a series of other apostate versions of other world religions. And
this is part of the Revelation 17. It says, the ten horns that thou sawest are ten kings who receive no kingdom as of yet, but will give their power to the beast for 1 hour or whatever. I can't remember. That's kind of a paraphrase. I can't remember the exact wording of it. But I look at, so Billy Graham says that the Pope is the moral leader of the world. He's a 33-degree Mason. Okay, when you go to the United Nations,
And Graham is also a supporter of Christian Zionism, as I understand it.
Yeah, well, see, yes. Like Billy, brags that he talked Ronald Reagan into sending a representative to the Vatican. I mean, he brags about this stuff. And when he prays, he doesn't pray to Christ. It's the generic God, There's lots of gods. God's many. Lord's many. But when the United Nations, if you're a monarch of a country, then you have a right to have a seat at the UN. And if you have a right to a seat at the UN, you can also be the Secretary General. So my mind's looking forward to this, the ten kings that will give their power to Rome for a short time. Well, the United, who is it? now I can't remember the name of it. It's the Rome. They have the world divided up into 10 regional districts. And it's just amazing that it's not 9 or it's 11. It's exactly 10. When this new world order comes into effect, there's going to be 10 regional districts. Okay? And the Pope is going to reside over all this because it's the 10 kings that have received no kingdom yet. So there isn't a kingdom yet. And this is what I'm... This is speculation on my part because prophecy hasn't been fulfilled. And we need to be real careful with speculation because the Lord has many ways of bringing his prophecies to fulfillment that we might not even know of. So we can't put this too much... But I'm looking at this and I'm going, where is all this leading? All this 1,000 years of light of Bush, who is the skull and bones, who is the Nazis, who is the fascist. I mean, we start looking at the Adam Weishaupt, you talked about him, the declaration of the Human Manifesto, right in the middle of that thing between the two tablets on their little representation, there's a fasci. Okay, well, we got the two fasci in our Congress. We got on our Capitol building, right at the very top of that little thing at the top, there's fasci all around it. Fascism is power in all one man, all power in one man, excuse me. And that's what the Jesuit order is all about. And we need to take this into consideration, who's controlling who. There's one man. And it all points to the man of sin. This is what the Bible points to. Now, this octopus has many tentacles. But we can't see the octopus for the tentacles. We need to be very careful. Let no man deceive you.
Yes, and as I think a part of that great deception at the end of world history is this clear question as well of the fact that so many people involved in Protestant, what has historically been called Protestant evangelical Christianity, have come to embrace false Israel. I think that plays a great role to play in the final outworking of these events as well, politically. You know,
definitely.
To me, yes.
Well, this is definitely so. I consider it, you know, if we're going to put names on things, this is the false prophet. Because apostate Protestantism, like, now you're a Missouri synod, right?
Historically, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, I have much respect for my brothers and sisters there because they're still standing under the historical facts, okay? But the other part of the Lutheran, they've capitulated to Rome and gone back to Rome, even made a statement that, you know, we're sorry that Luther maligned you, you know? Luther was a Catholic. He wanted to clean up the church. He didn't want to become anything else. He just wanted to clean up the church. But when you want to clean up the church, your head rolls. But we go back to, well, what about the Anabaptists? They... You know, there's a church in, I mean, I don't know how far I should go here, but anyway, there's a church in New York City. It's on down in the Greenwich Village on 11th Street. And it was, I went inside and I looked at it, and I'm a cabinet maker, and I like the handicraft of my brothers that went before me. And I was looking at some beautiful stained glass windows, and I look over it, and it dawns on me what I'm looking at. Here's a cross and a crown. That's masonry. Then on the left-hand side, there's a huge stained glass window, and there's an anchor. I go, that's masonry. And I look up where the pulpit is, and there's a band of paneling that goes around above the pulpit, which the pipe organ's pipes sit on above, and it's got wooden panels, and it comes along as it comes around. There's three panels there, and there's a flower in each one of those panels, and it moves along, come empty ones, and in the middle, it's got some leafy, kind of ivy-looking stuff, and then it comes around. There's three more panels with three flowers in it and goes around. And I look to my far left, and there's another panel, and it has a sun-solar disc at the top. And I look at these three panels, and these flowers have six petals each, and it goes 666. And it was John D. Rockefeller, Masonry, that built that church in 1880. Masonry had infiltrated the Baptist church back then.
Rothschild's red hexagram, too. 666. It's called the Star of David. We'll be back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I've been having a conversation with Steve here in the last hour or so. My callers board has just been refreshed, and I see I have other callers that I want to work into this conversation. I'd like to invite all of you again to keep an eye on what Ted Pike is telling us today at the National Prayer Network in regard to his alert, Jews pressure Bush to sign hate bill. Keep an eye on Senate Bill 1105. Keep pressuring your senators, Republican and Democratic, to vote against S-1105 whenever it comes up. And I think when we talk about this business of hate crimes legislation, certainly we need to keep in mind my conversation yesterday with Paul Fromm of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. What happened to Paul on April 19th of this year, and what has been going on with him since 1991, going back 16 years, shows the extent to which hate crimes legislation can and will be used in this country, just as it has been used in Canada and elsewhere, to stifle freedom of speech, to oppress people when it comes to being able to make a living, to ostracizing them in their individual communities, and ultimately to criminalizing things that simply involve the expression of differences of opinion and that involve theological freedom in regard to expression of theological ideas, and quite clearly differences of opinion within the academic community over the events of history and the way in which we should interpret history. Those are pretty key issues, I think, and certainly when we look at this whole business of the House of Representatives passing hate crimes legislation, and now the U.S. Senate looking at S-1105, we need to be keeping our eyes on this and watching very closely who and what it is that is behind this, because as we do that, it becomes absolutely crystal clear that there is a cultural revolution that continues to unfold in the United States and in the Western world that quite clearly is threatening to everything that we believe historically about Western civilization. And to the extent that we are fighting these battles, we're fighting the good fight, which means that once again we would ask you to continue supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network, continue supporting the American Free Press, support Congressman Ron Paul to the extent that you can in terms of his presidential bid. He might not win this thing. He might not get the nomination. Chances are 9 out of 10 or better that he won't, but merely getting those ideas in front of the American people and pressing those ideas before the American people is going to be an ongoing task for all of us, because it's alternative political candidates and alternative schools and alternative media that's going to continue to empower us in the days ahead. The bad guys control the establishment, folks, and to the extent that we continue to fight the good fight, despite our individual differences of opinion on some things, those of us who do believe in freedom want to continue this fight, because it's entering a new phase in darkness, I think, in world history. We've got another caller, Bob in Texas. Go ahead, Bob.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Is Steve still on the line?
He might be. I don't know.
Well, I would like
Doesn't sound like it. That dial tone might be my technician saying no, he isn't, but
okay.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, you know, I would like to emphatically concur with exactly what he was saying.
Sure.
And I want to make a point with you.
Okay.
And I think he tried to make it, but maybe didn't. You quoted the scripture over and over, and you said, those who say they are Jews but are not, but do lie.
Okay.
Okay. But you don't take the words to heart. They're not Jews. They're Babylonians. And he was talking earlier about the Kabbalah, and it came out of Babylon. And Babylon is the mystery of religion. The Pope, he's not a Jew. He's a Babylonian. The Jesuits,
I think the clear words of Scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, are simply Jesus' way of saying, in conjunction with what he's already said in John chapter 8, that you have those who are of the blood lineage of Abraham and who base their Jewishness in their blood lineage to Abraham. There are those who are spiritually Jews and are of the Israel of God because they believe in Jesus Christ. I think that that's what the dividing line is there.
Well, you know, I would say that my studies have indicated to me that there's a difference in redemption and salvation, and it's ancient law, and it goes all the way back to the very beginning, where redemption was something that happened through blood relationship, a corporal relationship, and salvation is for whosoever will. But when, you know, the Catholic Church or the Christian preachers come out and tell their congregation week after week, all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved, Satan believes in Jesus. Satan's not going to be saved.
Well, I think that gets into what Martin Luther, I think, using the Latin language, distinguished. There are three different forms of belief. There is fiducia, notitia, and assensus, using the Latin now. So let's see. That gets into, in terms of English language translation, you have notitia, which is knowledge. In that regard, you're correct. Even Satan believes in Jesus. He knows who he is. There is a census in terms of intellectual consent that certain doctrines are true, that like Jesus is the Son of God, Satan would affirm that. But it's the last one, fiducia, a trusting, loving faith relationship with Jesus, which is, I think, the defining difference there. But we'll be back. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I wanted to alert you that tomorrow, Brian Malatesta will be on this show. He is the head of the Constitution Party here in Texas. We're going to talk about the CP and what they're up to both in the state of Texas as well as nationally. We're going to talk about what they're doing to develop their individual state party chapters, speak about the kinds of issues that they want to use to run on in the next presidential election. And see as well how the candidacy of Ron Paul in the Republican primaries is going to affect the Constitution Party's chances in this coming election year as well. That's going to be Brian Malatesta tomorrow with the Constitution Party of Texas. He'll be on with me in the last 2 hours of the show. Also wanted to reiterate something that I've said before, and that is that I hope those of you who are listening to this show will be involved with Ron Paul's campaign if the Lord so leads. That event coming up this weekend in Austin sounds very interesting. That's going to be at the Texas History Museum, Congress, Martin Luther King, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. And I guess the number on that again is 512-250-8649. That's 512-250-8649. I'm not sure I can spare the time to get up there on Saturday, but I'd sure like to go. Maybe I'll manage to sneak up I-35 there, because I know I have at least one listener in Austin that I need to touch base with that's been in contact with me in recent weeks. That might be a good time for me to get that errand out of the way, too. Bob, were you still on?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I think it's important that when we study the Word of God, that we recognize it as that and not as just some other men's words, because sometimes we lose the impact of what's being said because we construe it in a human, with our brain, which is limited. And when you read John 8:44, and he talks about you're the sons of your father, the devil, and the lust thereof you shall do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's talking about Cain. He says, and the truth doesn't abide in you because your father's the father of lies, of all lies. And he's talking about the serpent. These people have worshipped the serpent, and the serpent is the son, and it all originated in Babylon. Now, some of these people, okay, when you take a look, you know, you talk about the Rothschild.
And he's also talking about those who can trace their racial lineage to Abraham as the sons of Abraham.
Right.
But do not accept the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, which has come to fruition in Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, Abraham had sons by three wives, Keturah, Hagar, and Sarah.
Right.
The children of Sarah were the children of Israel that became the children of Israel. And even Jesus said, I came only for the house of Israel, or for the lost sheep of Israel. But earlier you were talking about the Rothschilds as being bankers. They are the Ashkenazi bankers. There's no question about it. But the Vatican is a banker, just as wealthy as the Rothschilds, or at least comparably so. And the Masonics, when the Pope banned the Templars, they were bankers too. They were the world's first bankers. So
the question is, who in the 19th century preempted the other's bank? And that's a matter for historical interpretation. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock indicates, I think it was in 1823, that the Rothschilds basically infiltrated and took over Vatican banking. Now, that's what he says. I'm not an expert in that, but that's, as you know, just for the record, that's what he says.
Well, I don't know how amongst themselves they're going to work things out, but they will. And they are the synagogue of Satan, but they're not Jews, and they're not Jesuits. They're Babylonians. They came out, they devised a plan 6,000 years ago to take over and control the entire world, and they've been doing it ever since. And when you look, like earlier Steve mentioned, the fact that the Pope sits as a monarch and he has a seat at the United Nations. Well, so does whoever is running Israel, and so does whoever's running this place called the city in London. And those are the three headquarters for the three branches, or the triune god of Satan. The city of London, it runs the money. That's where the Rothschilds sit. And the Rothschilds have spent most of the money to develop the state of Israel. The Supreme Court building over there is totally Masonic, and it was paid for by the Rothschilds. And Rome, you know, when you stop and look at the institution of Rome, that was done through Mussolini, the Lateran Concordant. And they're all fascists, every one of them. It's fascism completely. But the problem is, people want to point at it's the Jews, or it's the Catholics, or it's the Masons, when in fact it's all of them. They are all part of the same Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. That's where they all came from, and that's what it's all about. And their system is the one that requires you to have a social security number, and it requires you to use their fiat currency. They don't use equal weights and measures like God prescribed. And so everything that they do, it sort of resembles what God had set forth, only it's a fraud, and it's illegitimate. And as long as we continue to participate in it, we're worshiping Satan, all of us. And that's why when he talks about this great apostasy, it's not just the Baptists or the Methodists or the Catholic, it's all of them. They're all chasing the sun god, and they don't even know it. They're under a grand delusion. And so when, you know, I'm going to tell you
something. I think we're clearly talking, aren't we, Bob, about a situation where at the end of history, we've got a one-world political, economic, and religious system that does not pay homage to the triune God of Scripture and to Jesus Christ. I think that much is very clear.
Absolutely. You know, God says, sure, I am not the author of confusion. Where did confusion come from? What does the word Babel mean? See, sometimes what happens is, Mark, I would just say this. A lot of guys go to law school, and they get a degree, and then they come out and they pass the bar, and they call themselves lawyers, but they really don't know the law. And a lot of people go to the seminary, and they are locked inside of a box by that seminary to where they really can't study because their focus is planted in their mind for them. They go there to learn, and they have the greatest intentions, but while they're there, they get locked into eschatology and a whole lot of stuff, rituals and doctrines of the church and all these other things that are, they add to or take away from Scripture. So if people would just get into Scripture and become Bible believers rather than Methodists or Episcopalians or Presbyterians and all of these various side cults is what they are. And while I'm on the line here, and in case anybody would be interested, see, I think Steve is right. I think the Pope sits as King of Kings. And you know, in the book of Daniel, I was reading this morning, that's what Daniel called Nebuchadnezzar, the King of Kings. And that's where the Pope originated. And he's still the King of Kings, and he always has been the King of Kings on this earth. And when you go to the Vatican website, all you have to do is go to Google and type in Vatican. And the very first listing, it says Vatican, the Holy See. You go to that website and look at the Vatican secret archives and those frescoes, because these are paintings that are in the Vatican that have been there for hundreds of years that show all of the kings of Europe turning their nations over to the Pope. And they have, the documents are there. They show these guys, these kings, on their knee, kissing the Pope's ring, handing him a deed to their country. I think the Pope sits in silence, just like the Rothschilds. You don't see the Rothschilds out in public where they can be shot. And it's just like the Pope. He doesn't want his business known by everybody. He doesn't want the whole world to know that he's running the world. And I'm going to tell you something, Mark. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He isn't going to stay in Rome. He's going to sit in Jerusalem. And that's coming. And, you know, I don't like to come on the air and act like I know something that somebody else does, doesn't, or whatever. But I've been studying this for 25 or 30 years. And once I got rid, I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy. You know, and you had those two guys on there that one day. And they're so bound up in Catholicism that they can't see the hypocrisy of the whole thing. And I didn't either. But even as a 12-year-old kid, I said to my mom one day, I said, well, how come everybody else has to go to hell and only the Catholics get to go to heaven? Because I knew a lot of Catholics. And I went to this other church, and it was just like ours. They're all the same. And what they really are is they're propaganda pulpits. And, you know, and nowadays you got John Hagee and all these other various preachers that are going around converting their congregation into Zionists. And
yes,
it becomes their primary mission. And what it is, it's accomplices to murder. But the people don't even realize it. They're blinded. You know, and in the Bible, over and over, it says, for those who have ears to hear and for eyes to see. And I think to myself, how could I be one of these people fortunate enough to have eyes to see and ears to hear? But once I started reading the Word of God as if that's what it were, And when Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, well, he wasn't a politician that was spouting rhetoric or hyperbole. He was the Son of God. And he was telling them, just like at TIZ, you are the son of, you're the children of the devil. And that's who they were. And what happened in the Garden of Eden was not what we've been told. You know, we've been told that they ate a fruit and they violated what God had asked them not to violate. But what happened there, when you really study it, and you go, oh, you can go to Genesis 5, and it'll tell you, these are the generations of Adam. And it starts off with Seth. his third son. Doesn't mention Cain or Abel. Why is that? Because Abel was dead, and Cain wasn't his son. Cain was the son of the serpent. And that was when Eve was beguiled, she was sexually assaulted by the devil. And she had two children. One of them was of Adam, one of them was his kid, and that was Abel, and one of them was Cain. And then when you get into the New Testament, it says, be like righteous Abel, not like Cain, who was of that wicked one. Well, who was that wicked one? And he was of that wicked one. So, you know, I didn't want, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I went through some major changes when I discovered that everything I've been told in my whole life has been a big fraud, a big lie, and I had to start all over again. And I had to accept the fact that they want us on a treadmill to do their bidding. You know, we've got a government made up of pedophiles and queers that are passing the laws for good, honest, hardworking people to live by. It's ridiculous. And yet we can't seem to do anything about it. You know, nothing in the Constitution says anything about a federal election commission. And yet we have one, and it keeps half the good people from even being able to get into office. You know, earlier you were talking about the expense involved and the tedium of having enough people sign petitions in order for a candidate to even get on the ballot. And then you got guys like, well, I'm telling you, you know, same time that you turned out, I turned out, was with Pat Buchanan. I thought we need a nationalist president. We need somebody who will stand up for America. We're being sold down the river, and this guy will do it. He wins New Hampshire, and then after that, they blow him out, his own party.
Who do you think was behind the obvious concentrated attack on Buchanan in the news media at that time?
Pat Buchanan might have taken the country in the right direction, you know. And at the same time, you know what? Pat Buchanan might have just been another player in the game. I Pat says a lot of nice things and a lot of things I'd like to believe in. But when he bailed out, see, he should have raised all kinds of hell when they tried to remove him from that convention. And I lived in San Diego at the time, and I thought this is unprecedented. This guy was a formidable candidate as a Republican, and the Republican Party has booted him, and that's because they're all Zionists, and they're all funded by Zionists.
And the Zionist news media was provably behind what was a concentrated attack hit job on Buchanan after he won the New Hampshire primary. I mean, in the week that followed that. All of the major news dailies went after him, and William F. Buckley took up the same fight at National Review for all of the same obvious reasons. And they had a field day with the whole thing, and quite clearly, if the Buchanan campaign achieved nothing else, I think it showed that by 1996 we were a totally infiltrated society, both in terms of the media and as far as the major political parties and our political institutions. I think it also showed the absolutely uphill battle, some would say even the impossible battle, that a truly nationalistic America First type candidate would have in trying to run not only for the presidency but for any other office of note. And I suspect if Congressman Ron Paul ever reaches the point to where he is no longer being ignored by national media but where they've got to start talking about him, you'll see some type of attack strategy subsequently used on him if he has any early success at all in a Republican primary or caucus. It's almost guaranteed.
Well, you know, Mark, sometimes I drive a tractor all day, and fortunately it rained last night, so I had the opportunity to stay home this morning. But the when you listen, I listen to mainstream talk radio. They call themselves alternative, but they're really mainstream, and you get Glenn Beck and Michael Medved and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, and they're all traitors to the country. They're all. I remember hearing Rush Limbaugh say George Bush is so smart he stole a Democrat's platform, and I thought, well, why do we have to have everybody steal him? Why don't we just elect a Democrat? I mean, you know, we didn't vote for a Democrat, but people out here in the country voted for a conservative, and they didn't get it. They've been lied to again. But you know, we have to stop these people ourselves. We can't depend on any politicians to do it. But, you know, I was going to mention that I was listening to Michael Medved the other day, and, you know, I did some research and found out that the Tsar of Russia in 1917, when the Bolshevik Revolution occurred, the guy that put a bullet in his head, it made the first kill there in the basement of that house, was a guy named Mikhail Medvedev. And that would be the Russian way of saying Michael Medved. And Medved was on the other day talking about Ron Paul and calling him the weird uncle you don't let out of the house but once a year. And, you know, he knows his audience. And these neoconservatives like Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, they claim to be conservatives. They know their audience. And I used to think that the socialist communist Democrats were stupid. But I don't think there's anybody dumber than conservative Republicans. They have been beaten like stepchildren for years. And every time that they try to elect a conservative, they get another socialist, actually a fascist.
I agree with you, Bob. You look at where these Republican presidents and congresses have taken us. Nobody can argue that is in a nationalistic America First direction or a culturally conservative direction. It simply won't hunt. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. Try to take another caller or two before the end of the show. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
live in San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been kicking around some different ideas with a couple of callers here in the last hour or so. Have a couple of additional callers. I'll try to work in at least one more and hope that if you don't make it on the show today, that you'll call back tomorrow. We're going to have Brian Malatesta on the show. He's the head of the Constitution Party in Texas. He'll be talking about all kinds of things related to the Constitution of the country and to the Constitution Party and how they see themselves as a political force at this particular juncture in the United States, keeping in mind that Ron Paul, who, in my judgment, ideologically is the only game in town for the average America First guy right now, is running as a Republican. And a lot of people will be involved in that in the Republican primaries. How will that play out for the Constitution Party after Ron Paul presumably doesn't get the Republican nomination? We'll have to see. Keep your eye as well on this hate bill. Ted Pike is warning us again about Senate Bill 1105 that has especially draconian implications, I think, in regard to what we talked about yesterday with Paul Fromm on this show. Paul, of course, heads up the Canadian Association for Free Expression. We have another caller in. It's Gabe in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Yes, hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hello, Mark. I just wanted to call real quick, throw in my 2 cents worth, and
sure,
and just say you had a great show this morning. That Bob guy was very knowledgeable. I think he's right on, absolutely correct. And just like Steve with you earlier,
yes,
I think both of you guys were saying exactly the same thing, only the semantics were both making you both stumble just a bit.
Yeah, I think that's true, Gabe. I think you're absolutely right.
And with Bob now, I want to tell you, that guy's right on, because I've been studying Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 since 1979. And in my studies, I have come to find out that these people that we're talking about, all these covert groups and overt groups that are out to destroy America and to take the world into slavery, these people do have a name, and they're the sons of Cain. Bob was right. There was a sexual sin in the garden, and the outcome was Cain. His children today run this world and run all of these covert operations that are trying to destroy this country. And they have a name. Their tribal name are the Kenites. That's who we need to identify as the troublemakers. They are not Jews. They only claim to be Jews. So that's not anti-Semitic to say that. I love the Jewish people. The people doing the damage to us are not Jewish. They are the Kenites. That is their name according to the Bible. And I just would like to see people point them out and quit running all around these rabbit holes and rabbit trails and chasing all these straw men when the devil is the Kenite. He is the one that's behind all of this. Thank you, sir, and have a good day.
Hey, God bless you, Gabe. Thank you. Melissa in Texas, you're on the line with Mark Dankoff. We just got a minute or two, but go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Mark. Did you get a chance to look at the Freeman perspective, and in particular the Columbia video and the corporate logo video?
No, I've got them, but I have not yet looked at them. Okay. Maybe I can do that in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, and then we'll talk, because it all ties in. The whole world lies under the power of the wicked one.
Yes, and I think certainly we can all agree that the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about when in Ephesians chapter 6 he spoke of powers and principalities,
yep,
and spiritual wickedness operating in high places, and the fact that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. I think we all agree on that one, don't we?
Yes, we do. Although Bob doesn't like the Apostle Paul very much, so we had a talk one morning about him on air.
Yes.
All right. Well, then I'll be listening, and maybe we can do another show where you don't have guests, and we just talk about that stuff.
Okay, Melissa, let's figure that one out. I think
and
that's
how,
a good idea.
How does Mary worship tie into this with the goddess?
Well, that'll be an interesting topic, too.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source.